When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Danny Salazar, Senior Vice President and Relationship Manager in Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. Danny, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
When we last spoke, the U.S. Supreme Court was considering a decision on President Trump's tariffs. They've now made that decision and ruled that the tariffs that he imposed under one provision of the law were illegal. Talk to us a little bit about the key takeaways from this decision. Has it stopped the tariffs or just postponed them for a while?
Well, as you know, we've had multiple conversations in the past about tariffs, the surprise, the amounts, the impact on businesses. I think for this latest round of developments, we're focused on our business owners and our clients. And for them, you know, this is less about politics and more about predictability. As it relates to the markets, they can handle almost anything. But one thing that does throw a wrench into the mix is uncertainty. And as for this recent ruling, you know, many businesses are already adjusting supply chain pricing. They're revisiting their contracts. So I think it more if anything, it brings back the thought of recalibrating the business model.
I guess what you're saying is the path, it's a pretty complicated path, right? The president says he's going to impose tariffs in another way. Some of these businesses have now filed lawsuits to try to get some refunds. I know the Supreme Court ruling wasn't clear about that, didn't mention the refunds part of this at all. So where do you see this going? And how are you telling your clients to proceed? And they want something that is obviously clear, but we don't really have that right now, do we?
We don't. And I think that's the biggest takeaway here is just the level of uncertainty. You'd mentioned it, like, is, you know, what does the next tariff round look like? Is there going to be an appeal? Is there going to be new legislation? You know, I think all of those items, we would just be taking a guess at what that looks like. And so for us and many business owners, I think the safest play is to try to get a sense of what the environment looks like today and how it impacts their business. For many of them, the operational impact won't be overnight. It'll be more strategic planning, understanding how this impacts their business, their clients, their supply chain, and less about trying to strategize of what to expect next. Because I think as we've all learned, it's hard to control the narrative or try to understand what will come next. Mm-hmm.
So some of the companies that have been impacted by tariffs have been impacted in a big way. There was a report from Morgan Stanley that estimated the payback, if that's the route that the government takes, would be about $85 billion to affected parties. There was another report that said that number is more like $175 billion. So there's a lot of money here on the line. And I know some companies have been eating the cost of some of these tariffs themselves. How long is that sustainable?
That's a good question. I think for our conversations with business owners, I think the some of the key takeaways are that they're monitoring the updates. They do have some questions as to how it will unfold. For some businesses, they've absorbed the tariff costs and they've seen some impact on their margins. Others have passed it on and have seen the moderation in demand. And so as this continues to unfold and, what the true cost is to the consumer, to the businesses, to the economy, it really is hard to justify. I think business owners are evaluating, what the next step is for them. And so the things that impacted them immediately when they had to take into consideration tariffs is the pricing. As they had to buy inventory at a higher cost, is there elasticity in their consumer or demand where they could either pass it on at 100% or do they have to absorb a portion of it? And then subsequently, how that impacted the operational efficiency and the profitability of the company. So I think there's a lot to take in. And one thing, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is that this is a good time to recalibrate and reassess, you know, operations, their clients, the supply chain, contracts. I think all of those things are on the table. And I think the best way to prepare is to strategize and to just make sure that you're prepared for any foreseeable or unforeseeable developments.
Danny, what about our trading partners? Europe, some other countries, Taiwan, other places have been monitoring this very closely. Some of these countries have already, even after the president put those tariffs in place, did trade deals. And a lot of those places, a lot of those countries are saying, hey, listen, a deal is a deal, even as the president is threatening the 10% across the board tariffs for everybody. Talk to us a little bit about how the trading view has been impacted by this with our trading partners.
Yeah, well, I think the same view can be taken from their side. You know, for them, the instability and surprise developments is equally confusing. And as they're trading with partners in the U.S., it's hard to really plan for uncertainty at this level. And so, you know, in the last 12 to 15 months, I think there was some progress made in terms of revisiting vendor and partner contracts. And if anything, all of these developments have led to, I think, an understanding that these contracts and these relationships are fluid. And so it gives the opportunities for both parties to really take a pause and recalibrate, whether it's procurement contracts, shipping timeframes, manufacturing processes. And so, yeah, I think it's safe to say that it's equally disruptive for our counterparties overseas. Mm.
And what about the markets? How have the markets been reacting to all of this?
You know, I alluded to it at the start of the conversation, is that I think the market values stability and consistency. And whenever you throw uncertainty and surprises into the mix, you tend to see a lot of volatility. I think we're seeing that in the markets with the investments, the treasury rates, the general environment and temperature is, you know, it's a lot of volatility, and it's hard to predict, you know, what will come next and how that will impact the economy.
Danny, I'd like to shift gears here for just a minute and talk to you a little bit about the jobs mm-hmm. picture, the jobs market. There was a report I saw that said that the Great Resignation may be over, that incentives are dimming for workers to change jobs. I know this had been during and immediately after the pandemic, jobs were plentiful and people were quitting jobs to get better deals and better situations. That looks to be changing, or has changed, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, we've seen a slow migration towards where we are today over the last, call it, 2 years. You know, I think when we look back to the pandemic and remember, you know, there was a large labor shortage, and that environment led to what we would call now the Great Resignation, where people moved from one employer to the next. And what you saw there was wage growth. And in many respects, there was a shortage of labor. So wage growth continued. And as we've migrated to where we are today, the job market has certainly cooled. It's not collapsing by any means, but what we're seeing is there's more employees and labor than there is to job openings. I think our business owners are now seeing more applicants per role than they did 12 months ago. And so how that has evolved is they're being more selective around the candidates. You know, I think the key demand still exists today than it was 12, 24, 36 months ago. And that's around specialized skill sets. I mean, I think there's always been high demand for that type of job pool, and that continues to be the case. If anything, now I think there's just there's more candidates, so business owners can be a little bit more selective, and how that translates to their current employee base is that they can now focus on retention strategy and also talent development. So all in all, I think it's progressed nicely. You're just not seeing an overabundance of labor.
The level of quits measured by the Bureau of Labor Statistics has contracted by nearly one-third since its peak in 2022, if that gives you a little bit of a data point to go on. Does this also mean that the potential employees are finding it harder to get the pay package and benefits package they want as they're shopping around for a new job?
It's hard to put a pulse on that, but I will just, I think from our conversations with business owners, is that it is still a competitive environment. And while there is more candidates to a job function as there was a year ago, they are still being very thoughtful and mindful about their businesses and how they position themselves against competitors, against an economy that is consistently changing. And so to say that they're not placing an emphasis on packages and wages and things like that, I think it's probably not the right approach. I think, if anything, they're being more thoughtful about it, mm-hmm. and understanding where there's limitations. And at the end of the day, I think what business owners are trying to do is preserve stability within their own employee base, so that they can best position themselves within their market.
All right. Danny, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Thank you. I appreciate it, Steve. Individuals can reach out to me via email at daniel.salazar@associatedbank.com. And they can always just send me a note on LinkedIn.
All right, Danny. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.